Thank you, choir. Thank you, men. Let's take our Bibles now, if you will. And I invite you to join me, Mark chapter 9. If you'll turn there. Mark chapter 9. We're going to start reading with verse 14 and read a few of these verses. The title of the message is When a Lad and His Dad Met Jesus. When a lad and his dad came to Jesus. And you'll see that depicted in this story that's recorded in Mark chapter 9. We begin reading in verse 14. Mark 9:14. How many of you have your Bible with you? Raise it up, would you? That's great. Look at that. That's good. Mark 9:14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, that is, a demon was controlling him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. Been a long time. And oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now as we look today at some of these verses, just in the previous chapter, they're on a mountaintop. The transfiguration was taking place. But all of a sudden now, after all of these good things, there's trouble down in the valley with this man and his son. Something needed to happen. In our world today, we are fighting principalities and powers. Paul describes them. We're fighting not so much against the flesh and blood, but against all of these powers that are there, similar to this situation. And for some reason, many of our churches seem powerless, like these disciples were, to take care of the matter and to change things. What we need in our country today is some powerful churches. And we need some power to change some things. But I submit to you, one of the most important things we need in our culture today is dads who are godly men who will help bring this change to pass. We need God-fearing men to help our sick culture. We need men of God to do what God would have them to do to give us hope for revival. In a sin-sick culture and world, we need men of God. May I suggest to you today that it is dad's responsibility, more than anybody else's in that home and in our culture, to see that we have a revival or that we do what God would have us to do. Dads, in spite of the Women's Lib movement and their psychology, in their philosophy, dads are the men that, according to the Bible, are the head of the home. And dads are to lead out. And they're to set the pace for doing the right things. We have, as dads, a responsibility. Now, dads, that doesn't mean that you're to be a dictatorial tyrant. Some guys think that that's what the Scripture is teaching. God is not teaching that you as a dad are to be a dictatorial tyrant there in the home, but he has set up the home the way it belongs and the way it's supposed to be. But that doesn't mean you're to be a cruel brute there in your home. Reminds me of what I read about a man who told his wife a number of different things and to draw his water and to take his shoes off and all of that and then to cook him a meal. And as he told her to cook the meal, he said, "I want 3 eggs. I want one of them poached. I want one of them over easy. And then I want one of them hard boiled." Just a simple request from a man, right? And so she did exactly what he said and put it on the table. And he said, "My goodness, I can't believe you did this." He said, "What?" He said, "You boiled the wrong egg." So there's some men in the home that are sort of like that, aren't they? That's one side of the equation. But then there's another side. Old Dr. B.R. Lakin was one of my favorite preachers. How many of you ever heard him preach? Raise your hand. You know why I'm saying that. One of the prince of preachers. Dr. B.R. Lakin said, "Some men are so henpecked that they roost on the foot of the bed at night with their head under their arm." Go ahead, man. Say amen. That's all right. No. That's the other side of it. God doesn't intend for you to be henpecked. God doesn't intend for you to be a tyrant. God intends for you to be a man of God who follows the Word of God like it should be followed. The responsibility of the father is to provide the right kind of home. The right kind of home. I'm afraid today that many of our homes just don't, they're not providing the right atmosphere and the right culture. What do you mean, preacher? Well, there's beer in the refrigerator instead of milk. You say, "Well, I've got both. We ought to get rid of one of them." There are cards on the table versus having a Bible that is preeminent in the home. There's a pack of cigarettes on the desk versus tithing envelopes. There are sex magazines in the book rack versus Christian literature and the Bible, the Word of God. In some cases, both parents, mother and dad, in some cases just dad, are alcoholics. I ran across a poem in studying for this message. And listen to this. The poem is entitled, "Mom, Sis, and Me." Mom, Sis, and Me. This is about an alcoholic dad, a guy who is given over to alcohol. She said, "Most homes like mine have 4, but ours has only 3. Since Dad went away, there's just Mom and Sis and me. Sometimes it gets so lonely since Dad went away, I hope it won't be long that he will have to stay. You see, Dad's sick from drinking, and this I don't understand. Once he was just like others, a handsome, fine young man. Mom tells us to pray a lot, and Dad will be all right. But I wonder if she really believes it, because I hear her cry at night. No matter what my daddy's done, he's the only dad for me. And I pray he'll change his life for Mom and Sis and me. I pray there are no other homes where there are only 3, and no one is quite so lonely as Mom and Sis and me." That was written by a young lady in Richmond, Virginia, after her father left because he was an alcoholic. We need good dads in the home, amen? Dads who will live for God. Dads who will set the example. We need dads who will be at home. We don't need absentee dads. There are too many absentee dads in our culture today. We don't need that. Dads, don't be so preoccupied with what you're doing and what you're up to that you don't have plenty of time for your children. and give them time. They don't want toys. They want your time. You say, well, I'll give them some money. I'll give them this, and I'll give them that, and I'll give them the other. Let me tell you, dads, your children want you. They really want you. And they should have you. Be sure. Be innovative. Make time. Create time. Find time. We all have the same amount of time every day. It's just the difference is how we use that time. Dad, you need to find time for your children. You need to be a praying father. Amen? I had a praying dad. And I thank God that I had a praying dad. I knew he was a praying dad. He didn't flaunt it. He didn't talk a whole lot about it. But sometimes we'd get him to tell some stories and some things that happened in his life. And he would tell about a time when he prayed. And he told about one time they were putting a roof on a home. And they had torn the roof off of that home. It was the old tin roofs years ago. And so they were trying to get that roof back on down in Louisiana. And a storm came up, just popped up out of the blue. And it was going to come and rain and ruin the furniture and all of that. And boy, would they ever have been in a mess. And he said, I just prayed. Dad, what'd you do? I just prayed. And I prayed and said the rain came right up to the yard of the house and it just stopped right there. We finished the roof and got the roof on. And the minute we got the roof on and got off of the house and got away from it, the rain went on a little bit later on. And some of you say, well, I don't believe that. Friend, you can believe it because it's true. And I could give you a lot of illustrations. Dad, your children ought to know you're a praying dad. And they ought to recognize that your prayers get answered. They ought to see you read your Bible. They ought to know that this book means more to you than anything around. This book doesn't belong on the floor or under the other magazines. It belongs on top shelf. It belongs predominant in your home. And your children ought to know, dads, that you love this book with all your heart. And you make much of this book. My dad, many a time, sitting in an old chair that he had there by in our living room. And I'd see him take that old Gideon Bible, hardback Gideon Bible, one of those black ones. You Gideons know what I'm talking about. And he'd take a little pencil that was not real sharp, but he rounded it off with his sharp knife on the end, and I'd see him sit there, and he'd mark that Bible and turn, mark that Bible. Many times he was reading that Bible. We weren't watching TV all the time. He was reading his Bible. And I say, dads, that your children need to know you love this book. And they need to know that you know it and that you believe it. And you need to be able to tell them why you believe the Bible, prayer and Bible reading, and set the example. I learned so much from my daddy, not so much for what he was teaching me all the time. He didn't necessarily sit down and spend 3 points and 3 parables and 3 poems in our devotional life. He didn't really make that a deal, but in the way he lived, as I watched my dad, I knew that my dad was an honest man. I knew that my dad believed in work and the work ethic. I knew that my dad loved God and loved the Bible and went to church. I knew that Dad lived and walked with God in a close relationship. He didn't have to go around telling everybody it all the time. We just knew as we watched and looked at our dads. I want to ask you, dads, if your children are watching you and watching you every day and week after week, do they see that in your life? Are they able to see that you love God, you walk with God, and God is number one in your life? Living for God is the most important thing in the world to you. Do they see that in your life? They have a right to see that in your life. They have a right to see moral purity in your life. They have a right to see that the home is bright and attractive because you're there. That it's not negative and griping and complaining, but it's a positive attitude and there's a loving atmosphere. And that you let them know how much they're loved and how much they're appreciated in that home. And the Bible says, dads, don't provoke your children to wrath. Some dads can overdo it and demand and provoke their children to wrath. We're to love them, yes, and we're to discipline them. That's part of the Word of God, contrary to what political correctness says and our society says today. The Bible says that children are to be disciplined, but they're not to be abused or mistreated. They're to be disciplined the Bible way. Love them, discipline, and that'll give you the right balance. If you have too much so-called love, you'll spoil them, and that will not teach them how to live in real life and how to respect God. If you don't have enough love for them and too much discipline, you'll make them angry at you and they'll turn from you and go a different way. You've got to have a balance of love and discipline in the Lord, and there are ways to do that. So the responsibility is to provide the right kind of home. And then, dads, we have a responsibility to provide for our family the right kind of church. All churches are not equal. All churches are not the same. May I suggest to you, Dad, don't send them to church. Bless God, take them to church. Take them to church. I could remember, we didn't say, are we going to church today, Dad? We didn't even ask that question. Unless somebody was sick with a high fever, we knew we were going to church. You just started getting ready on Saturday night, really, and then finished up on Sunday morning. We used to ride in an old pickup truck, and they'd cram, my daddy was a farmer, and cram me and my mother and my sister and myself in there. And if one of my brothers, one of them was older, if one of them was home, it'd put him in the back if it wasn't raining. It was always fun when all of us got in the cab of that old Ford truck. But we knew where we were going. And we'd go down a gravel road, a dusty road, and we drove 12 miles to the church that Daddy wanted us in because it was a good church. We drove from one side of the county to the other side of the county just to be in the right kind of church. And sometimes one of the biggest treats we'd ever have, some of you won't even relate to this, Mr. Rainbolt, who had a store, would leave it open just a little bit on Sunday morning if somebody needed some gas or something to get to church. Dad would wheel in there in that pickup truck, go in and buy a whole pack of Juicy Fruit gum. I mean, a whole nickel pack. And we'd just be so excited, and he'd come back to the truck and give my sister one piece of gum and me one piece of gum, and then he'd remind us, don't you let me catch you chewing that in church. You chew all the good out of it before you get to church. And that was a big, exciting thing, and my memories of going to church are great. Especially because I got gum. That didn't happen every Sunday. But I'm just simply saying, we went to church. We knew we were going to church. And it was always a highlight of our week to be able to go to church. Sunday morning, yep. Sunday night, yes. And Wednesday night, like the guy I was talking about, I think, last Wednesday. They asked him why he was such a good guy, and he said, because I was drugged. And he said, what do you mean? He said, my mama and daddy drugged me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if you'll do that, have them in the Lord's house, and I still believe it's good to have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. The old Wednesday night prayer meeting where we pray. But we need to do that. We provide the right kind of church. I go out and talk to people, and some parents will say to me, well, I don't go, but I send my children. And they smile real big like that's a brag. I'm thinking, you're not bragging to me if you don't take your children. I mean, it's better to, if you don't go, if you do send them, that's all right. But the better thing is that you go with them. You set the pattern in every way as a dad and as a mother. Then there's a responsibility to live the right kind of life. Let me tell you what we emphasize a lot of times to our children. We say, make all the money you can. Be successful, and I'll be proud of you. We say, make the football team and be a hero on the football team or on the baseball team or on the basketball team. Or lift weights and be strong, guys, and do all of that. Or girls, be intellectual and make the honor roll all the time. And I'll be so proud of you if you just do all of these kinds of things. But how many dads involved in teaching character, honesty, pay your bills, live morally clean, have manners, dress right, don't dress provocatively as a girl, young lady, and men to do what is right, take some time to build character into them. Not just all of these other things that are out there that we spend so much time on saying, we want you to do this, now do this, do this, do this. But what about these biblical characteristics that God wants them to have? Spend time teaching them those characteristics, moral standards, the position on drugs and alcohol and sex and all of those things, what to respect the law, all of those different things. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That means when they're young, train them right. Don't wait and try to correct your errors and not train them when they're young and try to correct it later on. I can tell you, you don't correct a big tree. When these trees, we planted some trees out here in our yard at the church a while back. They're just little old saplings, and we tied them off so they'd grow straight. And when they get bigger, you're not going to tie them off, friend. To do it is when they're young, when they're young. And that's the important thing. You don't fashion a vessel after the clay has gotten hard. You fashion a vessel when they're young. And you don't teach an old dog usually new tricks. You teach them those things when they're puppy, because they're going to get set in their ways. We need to train up children while they're young. And by the grace of God, take time to do the right kind of thing. And we need to demonstrate it for them. Go to a Bible church. Reinforce your convictions. Don't be critical of the church and the pastor and the ministers of that church. Serve in that church. Show them that God is real to you. That I'm not just whistling Dixie about being a Christian. God is real to me, and I'm going to serve God and show my family and my children that He is worthy of my service and support and all of those things that are involved. We need to look at this boy here, going back to our text, the desperate condition of the boy. Look at verses 17 and 18, where he said, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." That's what we need to do. The lost people need Jesus Christ. And Dad, the best thing you can ever do is bring your child or grandchild to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Spend some time. Offer your time. Talk to them about the Lord. Tell them how to be saved. Don't wait until they're older and talk to them about it. Talk to them while they're young. The lost are in a condition of being unsaved. There's an age of accountability. You come to that age, and then you are accountable to God as a child, and dads need to understand that and be sensitive to that and tell them how to be saved. Win them to Jesus Christ. What could be greater than to win your own child to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Get them to admit their condition like this boy, and what did Jesus say? Bring them to me. Bring them to me. By the way, he didn't say send them to me. Amen? He said bring them to me. Dads, bring them to Jesus. Bring them to church. Bring them to a saving knowledge. That's Dad's number one responsibility. It's not money, education, and all of the fame and fortune that we're always fighting for, but it's these things that are so important. Bring your child face to face with the fact that they are sinners, they need to be saved, and Jesus will save their soul. And he'll save you too. I don't care who you are. You say, "Well, I'm older and I didn't have that situation. And I didn't have a good dad." And I'm sad if you didn't have a good dad. I had a good one. And some of you maybe say, "My dad abused me," or "My dad was an alcoholic. My dad didn't provide for us," and all of those things. "I didn't have a good dad." Well, let me tell you something. You can have a heavenly father that'll take his place. And all you need to do is get saved. Come to him and trust him as your Savior, Jesus Christ. And then God is your heavenly Father. And you can cry out, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Abba, Abba, Father. A sweet, endearing term that Jesus Christ and God Almighty would be your Savior and your Father. Now the demons give way to Christ's commands. Christ told them to get out of it. Jesus is always the answer, folks. Always. I don't care what the problem is. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem here is he almost waited too long. Look at verse 21. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." He said, "It's been happening a long time." The question would be, why didn't we get him to Jesus before now? It's been too long. It almost waited too long so that the demons would destroy this little boy. And I'm glad that people can be saved at an early age. I've seen my children saved. They were saved at an early age. Most of my grandchildren have been saved at an early age. We have one right now that is about 7, almost 8 years of age. And I'm praying for him every day that God will save his soul. And I believe that he can be saved. I had a nephew that was visiting us one time, and he had his little boy with him. And he was a young fella, and I talked to him about Jesus. We spent a little time together, and this young lad, not too long ago, accepted Christ as his Savior. May I say to you that he has MS now? Or no, he has cancer now, and he probably will not live very long, but thank God he's saved. And I'll see him in heaven someday. Cody will be there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Catch them while they're young. Provide a Christian home. Daddy, you need to do that. It's not the plush home. It's not the fancy car that is important to them. It's not all the fine clothes and the clout in the community. It's not those things. It is bring them to God. And as God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Noah, get your family in the ark because the flood's going to come. And I say, get your family under the blood of Jesus Christ because judgment is going to come. As surely as the flood came, judgment is going to come. And he said, send them to me. Bring them today. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow could be too late. Let me tell you, this is a picture of salvation. Here's a boy that really has a need, and that is typical of sin. And they tried to get him some help, but all of this other stuff didn't help him. They finally brought him to Jesus, and Jesus said, I can handle the problem. And he cast the demons out of him, and the little boy got all right because he met Jesus Christ. A lad and his dad who came to Christ, and the lad met Jesus Christ. Have you met him? If not, I would encourage you to do so today. Some of you dads here, number one, some of you are not saved. You need to get saved today. That's the problem in your life. You need Christ. You need to be born again. And then secondly, some dads are not setting the right example. Thank God for those who are. Many of you are. Thank God for you. And all I can say to you is keep on keeping on. Keep doing the right thing. It will never be in vain for you to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to put God first in your life. But and if there's some things in your life that don't belong there, dads, you need to bring it to the Lord today and get it right. Let's stand, please. When a lad and his dad met Jesus, that's the secret. If you're here without Christ, I want to encourage you to come today and trust Christ as your Savior and make God your Heavenly Father. And by the way, your dad may have walked out on you, but let me tell you, God will never do that. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Trust him today as your Savior. And dads, maybe some moms, maybe some children who need to do some things that are different to honor your dad. You know you're wrong. You know you're out of fellowship. Not only with your dad, but with God. Do something about it today. Make that home what it ought to be. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this biblical story of when a lad and his dad came and they had a need, and that need was met in Christ. And I pray that some folks would be saved here today. Some dads would come to Christ. Some dads would make things right. Maybe some children who are not walking the way dad taught them, the way dad raised them, that they'd make things right today and get rid of their foolish pride and rededicate their lives to Jesus and live for him. We pray and ask these things in his name. Amen.